Good afternoon, everyone, and again, welcome to Product Care Association Pesticide, Solvent, and Fertilizer Member Webinar today on June 16th. In the room with me, I have Holly LaFontaine, and supporting us also from Vancouver is Kevin and David, and they'll be able to answer questions as we go along throughout the presentation. As we're going through the presentation, you can ask questions. You can type them in to the chat box on the left-hand side of your screen, and we'll have some breaks as we're going through the presentation, and we'll answer the questions as best as possible. And if we can't answer the questions, we'll take them away and get back to you. The agenda for today, then, is we'll talk briefly about Product Care, then the member support, Product Care's Pesticide, Solvent, and Fertilizer Industry Stewardship Plan Program. We're going to touch on no visible fees, reporting to Product Care. We're also going to talk about the remitter and reporter arrangements and the small remitter policy. Then we're going to get into navigating the website or navigating the reporting. We're going to jump to a demonstration. And then there will be time for questions and answers at the end, and we'll have our contact information up there. So going here, Product Care Association is a non-profit industry association. It was founded back in 1994 in British Columbia. PCA delivers recycling programs to provide compliance under provincial extended producer responsibility, or EPR, regulations. It's an industry-based board of directors divided into product sectors. There are approximately 55 employees in offices located in Vancouver and Surrey, Toronto, and Montreal. On the left-hand side, you have our new logo. I'm sure you've seen it. Product Care is our corporate name and our brand. It's our legal entity and appears in all contracts and agreements. Then on the right-hand side is Regeneration, which you're probably most familiar with. That is our consumer-facing brand. It's intuitive and engaging to customers to consumers. And Regeneration is the umbrella of all programs under Product Care, such as Paint Recycle, Light Recycle, and Alarm Recycle. Here's a brief view to the programs in the different provinces. So in the case of paint, we're in British Columbia, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, New Brunswick, Nova Scotia, Newfoundland, PEI, and Ontario. I'm not going to go through the whole list, but you can see that we're in many provinces in the various programs. Collectively, Product Care contracts over 850 collection sites across the country. And you can see there in Ontario, there are 277 collection sites. The PCA programs in Ontario consist of an interim LAMP program, which started last year, June 1st, and it will come to an end at the end of this month. We have the PAINT program, which started June 30th, 2015, and of course, the Pesticide, Solvent, and Fertilizer program, which started April 1st of 2016. In terms of member support, this is the first view to our new website, which I'm sure many of you have experienced already, simply by going to www.productcare.org. We'll get you to this screen. And then, of course, specifically for member support, you'll see it in that ribbon in almost the top part of the page. If you click on that, it will take you to this next screen. And for Ontario, obviously, you will choose Ontario for reporting. And then it'll take you to the next screen, which has our resources, our news, our frequently asked questions are all available here. This is something that you're familiar in seeing if you've been to this part of the website, and the information is the same, and any updated information will be kept here. As of April 1st, 2016, Product Care assumed the end-of-life management for pesticides, solvents, and fertilizer, PSFs as we call it here, including collection, transportation, and processing. The program was developed with the support of industry partners and the Canadian Consumer and Specialty Products Association, or CCSPA. It enables PSF stewards to meet their obligations under the Waste Diversion Act. The PSF ISP offers cost predictability with an environmental handling fee, or EHF, enables industry to play more of a direct role in the program, and reduces program costs through the recovery of HST as an input tax credit. As part of the industry stewardship plan, Product Care adopted the end-of-life management system from Stewardship Ontario as is. Product Care will work with service providers and municipalities to find program improvements. And a big thanks to everyone. The chart below shows the letters of intent that was initially received when the first PSF ISP was submitted, and where we ended up on as of April 1st, or for the commencement of the program, the steward registration grew significantly. We see pesticides went from 10 to 19, and the current level of support for pesticides by volume is 99% in Ontario. For solvents, it went from 24 stewards who provided letters of intent to 54 registered stewards, and that's a representation of approximately 80%. And then fertilizers jumped from 6 stewards all the way up to 17 stewards by the time the program had started, and that represents 91% of steward support in Ontario. So that was very significant. We very much appreciate that. The definitions of pesticides, solvents, and fertilizers under the PSF ISP are the same as they were under Stewardship Ontario. There is no change to the inclusion or exclusions in the PSF ISP. The definitions and inclusion and exclusion lists for each product are available at www.productcare.org, then under member support in Ontario. Those are some of the screens that I showed you just moments ago. The rates, Product Care refers to the fees as environmental handling fees, or EHFs. We encourage all members in the program to use this terminology when describing Product Care's funding model to your stakeholders. The fees are as follows. For pesticides, reported in either a kilogram or a liter, is $1.08. For solvents reported in liters, it's 33 cents a liter. And fertilizers reported in kgs or liters, it's 7 cents a kg or a liter. EHF rates will be applied to sales reported submitted to PCA. EHF rates are applied per unit of liter or kg sold for pesticides and fertilizers, or liters sold for solvents. EHF rates were derived from a multi-year budget approved by the PCA Board of Directors with input from stewards. At least 90 days notice will be given to members of any rate increase or decrease if required. Fees. As a member of the Ontario PSF ISP, you are required to have no visible fees displayed to the end user of pesticide, solvents, or fertilizer products. Companies are allowed to display environmental handling fees in business-to-business transactions, provided the business is not the end user. Visibility of fees varies by province in Canada. In BC, Saskatchewan, Manitoba, and Nova Scotia, fees may be showed separately. Whereas in Newfoundland, New Brunswick, PEI, and Ontario, fees cannot be visible. So we see that difference of how they apply the fee, or how they show the fee in different provinces. During the member registration process, Ontario PSF members accepted the supplementary letter of agreement for the Ontario PSF ISP, which includes the no visible fee requirement. This requirement is meant to reduce consumer confusion, which has occurred in the past. EHF rates are expected to be incorporated into the price of PSF products sold to the end user in the same way as other costs, example, your manufacturing costs, transportation costs, retail operation costs are currently done. This requirement does not mean that the EHF rates are a secret. In fact, they are posted on our website. Now we're going to pause there to see if there are any questions. There are no questions at this time. I'm going to pass it over to Holly LaFontaine, who's going to take you through the next section. Holly?
Sure. Thanks, Pat. And just a quick reminder, if you do have questions, please type them into the chat function at the bottom left throughout the presentation, and then we'll take them at the end. So reporting to PCA. So for some of you, this might be, a bit repetitive if you're part of PCA for the PAINT program in Ontario or some of our other programs. But we'll try and go through it. And then if you're brand new to PCA, we'll take you through the different steps and eventually do a demonstration as well. So PCA's PSFISP members began reporting to us as of June 1 for the May 2016 sales. So you may have seen a reminder go out recently and also in the approval letters that the April 2016 sales do not need to be reported to PCA. And so there was sort of the 1 month free with the beginning of the program. But starting for May sales, those do need to be reported to PCA. So reports and fee remittance are always due within 30 days of a calendar month end. So for example, for May 2016, you start reporting that by June 1st is when your report will show up in your account, and then you have until June 30th to get in the report and to remit the fees associated with that report. Fee reports and remittances are required monthly, except for anyone who is a qualifying small remitter. You may have been approved to start off quarterly, but in general, it's required monthly reporting. And then once a monthly report is submitted, an invoice is automatically generated based on those EHF rates that Pat took us through, plus HST. And so reporting to PCA, so this just gives you a little bit of a timeline of what the program looks like since transferring from Stewardship Ontario. So if you were approved to join the Product Care PSF ISP on April 1st, you would look something like this. So from April 1 to April 30th, there wasn't much going on that you had to do, but you would have had to report your Q1 sales back to Stewardship Ontario by April 30th because Q1 from January to March 31st was still part of the Stewardship Ontario program. And then the PCA ON PSF ISP members received the first month free. So April, you didn't have to do a report in May for your April sales. But then come May 30th, you may have had your final invoice with Stewardship Ontario, and that would have been something that would have reflected from any business or operations that happened prior to April 1st. And then starting June 1st, so this whole month, June 1 to June 30th, that's when the PCA members had to report their May sales to PCA. So you kind of see the different cadence there. You've got about 30 days to get in your report and pay your fees, as opposed to sort of having those fixed deadlines. But this is essentially what the transition looks like for anyone who's transitioned and joined us for that April 1 date. So remitter and reporter agreements. So PCA, we do allow stewards within the supply chain to determine who reports and who pays. And so this is a concept that I believe did not exist previously with Stewardship Ontario, and maybe it's something new with them, but it didn't previously exist, where the remitter does not have to be sort of the what would have been deemed as the obligated steward with Stewardship Ontario. So if there are two PCA members who are currently selling products into Ontario, if your member's with us, then every member is responsible to report what they sell. However, we don't want double reporting. So if the same product is being sold through two members in Ontario, we don't want both reported. So you do have the ability to set up a remitter relationship with each other to decide who is doing that reporting and who is doing the remitting to PCA, so that only, you know, one product that goes into the market is reported and remitted on one time. So that type of remitter relationship can exist, If two parties do set up that relationship between each other and form that agreement between each other. The reporting steward concept, so the second concept outlined here, this is something that we grandfathered in from Stewardship Ontario program, where there could be a situation where one party is doing the reporting and a different party is actually doing the remitting. And so if this was a relationship that you currently had, we call it a reporter-supplier agreement. This is something that is still an option. Many of you, if it did apply, you may have already looked into that. If you haven't and it's still something that needs to be set up for an April 1st start, please do contact me. Our contact information is there on this screen, and it will also be at the end of the slide. But we do need to know about these relationships as soon as possible, as June 1st has already passed and the reporting periods are already starting. But just so you know, that relationship does still exist with us, and we're happy to have that conversation. So small remitter policy. So typically the small remitter is allowed if someone has been reporting with Product Care for 1 year. They're in good standing with Product Care, so they have all of their reports up to date, their invoices paid, and they also remit less than $20,000 per year for all Product Care programs. So this policy was recently updated and sent out to all members, but you have it here. For the transition, we have been allowing, if we can sort of see past reports, from Stewardship Ontario the last four quarters that would allow us to determine whether a member is a qualifying small remitter, we could consider starting members off as quarterly reporters if we can validate that, yes, in fact, you would meet this policy. So that is an option. We would just need to see those last quarterly reports and sort of have a conversation about it. So if you do believe that you should be starting off as a quarterly reporter for the PSF Ontario program, then again, please contact me and we can discuss it and move from there. And so just a quick note, if you were approved for a quarterly reporter for the Ontario Pesticide Solvent and Fertilizer program, you will not see your reporting option in your account yet because you would not see it until July 1st. So as of July 1st, you will be able to log in, see the report, and you would report May and June 2016 sales at that time. Okay, reporting navigation. So again, Pat took us through the member support for Product Care. So it's very similar. If you want to try and access the reporting screen, you go to productcare.org, click on member support at the top of the page, and then the very next page, you'll see where all the provinces are. You'll see a green button on the left that says PCA reporting. So once you click there, that will take you to our reporting login. And so this is the home page or the landing page for the login, where you put your username and your password to log into your membership account, which is also the account where you'll be doing your reporting. Any support that's needed for reporting the environmental handling fees or your sale reports, there is a handy link at the very bottom of that login that says download EHF reporting instructions. And so if you are stuck, after this webinar, you go back to it a month from now and you can't remember something, there is instructions available on this page if you just click that link. And so now we're going to do the demonstration. Great, so this is the productcare.org website, and so just as we said in the slides, we'll click on member support. I'm going to just show you one quick thing before we jump into the reporting. So Pat showed you if you click on Ontario, you get resources, news, and FAQs. A really frequent question that we do get is how can I know what the products are that are included in the program or what are the fee rates? And so when you get to this landing page for member support and then Ontario, you have all of these resources available, and in particular, accepted products and fee rates is one of the drop-downs where you'll be able to see the product definitions, There was a decision tree that applies more to the paint program and our environmental handling fees for all of the Ontario programs. So just to give you a quick look, this is what the definitions page looks like. And as we mentioned in the slide, the definitions for the pesticide, solvent, and fertilizer programs are all the same as they were in Stewardship Ontario. And so the definition there is at the top, and then the inclusion and exclusion lists are right below the definition, and you see which sector it's applied to, and yeah, so all of the information is here. So whenever you need that, you can get it right off the website. And the handy-dandy PCA reporting button does stay on the different pages as you go through, so we'll now click on that PCA reporting button. Which takes us to the login page. And so then we'll scroll down, we'll type in our test. So you would use your username that you selected when you first registered with us, or if you were already registered with us, it would be the same username that you've created for other provinces and other programs, and then whatever password you've used. If at any time you needed to change a password, there is the option to do that at the bottom here, change password. So this is really your main menu here. This is the landing page of the membership portal. So once you're logged in here, this is kind of your go-to spot for, the basic member information. So if you have contacts in your organization that have changed recently or the primary contact on your account changes, you would click into basic information, and that's where you can make some of those changes. And all of your reporting is down here on these province boxes. And so as soon as you can see, as I put my mouse, my cursor over any of the provinces, the year shows up. And then as soon as I put my cursor over the year, I see which report I'm on next. And these reports will show up sort of sequentially. So once you've completed your May 2016 sales report in June, then that one will be submitted. And then you can always go back and view it. So here it says view January 2012. So when you've submitted, I can actually show you one for Ontario. So here it says view April 2016 data. So that's a report that I've completed in the past. When you're submitting a new one, you'll see the next one pop up and it says enter new EcoFee report for, and it tells you which month you're on. And so once May sales are submitted, the next one that pops up will say, enter new EcoFee report for June 2016. And it'll keep going. So it will not show up. Your next fee report will not show up until you've completed the previous month. And also, it's the first of the following month. So June sales report will pop up by July 1st, and only if you've completed your previous month's report. And so we're going to go in here. The other option that you have is you can start a report, save it, and not actually submit it and come back to it later. So that's what I've done here. So I have modify May 2016 data. So I'm going to click into that one. That just means I've entered this report at one point in time. You can see here that I've entered some previous sales numbers, and it's now telling me that now I have the opportunity to make any modifications. And so this is your reporting screen. So once you click in Ontario 2016, report my May sales, I come in here, and if anyone is registered with us for paints and coatings, you would see that report show up. But you'll see solvents and flammable liquids if you're registered for solvents. You'll see pesticides if you're registered for pesticides, and fertilizers if you're registered for fertilizers. All of the fee rates that Pat showed us earlier are all right here. So it was the 33 cents per liter for solvents, the $1.08, and the 7 cents. And as you enter numbers in here, so if I enter, 20 liters, the 33 cents will automatically be applied, and then the fee will be calculated under total fee here. At the very bottom of the screen, it'll do a summation of what's the total bill before taxes, and then it'll add the Ontario tax, and then you get your total bill down here. So this is the sort of main page, the initial page. At the bottom here, there's a section for optional notes. Many of these boxes that you'll see are optional. One other thing at the top I want to point out here is there's a purchase order number. This is also an optional field, so we've heard from some members that if they have an internal purchase order number that they need to be communicating or connect to their accounting department, it's easier if they put it here and then this number will show up on the final invoice. So we'll just put ABC in there. And we'll go to save and continue. Next, report methodology. So this is another field that is optional, but if there's information of, you know, how was this report, where did it come from, was it some kind of sales system that you're using to generate this report, you know, what kind of tracking method do you have, if you fill in a couple points there about, you know, what methodology was used to fill in the report, we'll go save and continue. And then this is, you can select whether you're going to be paying by check or EFT. And then, of course, if it was a zero report. So just to highlight on the zero report, if there is a particular month or quarter that you're reporting for where there were zero sales, you do still have to submit a report. And so we only sort of count someone in good standing if they're up to date on all of these reports, and that does include zero reports being reported. Save and continue. And then at the end, submit the PCA program report. So for this is just the final checkbox. So it's just a declaration to confirm that the methodology used to calculate your data has been reviewed and is as accurate as possible. You click to agree. And then don't forget to submit report. So sometimes after that, people click agree, they return to the main menu or forget to do this last step, and then the report doesn't actually go through or process at that point. So we'll click Submit Report. You'll get a little message. Thank you for submitting your report. Click OK. And then immediately after the report is submitted, you can view your invoice or download the invoice as a PDF. So we'll view this. So this is what you'll see. So here's the province, here's the invoice number that gets generated by the system. This indicates that the reporting period was for the month of May, and then this was the purchase order number that I manually put in. And again, if this was something you needed for your own internal accounting, if someone in accounting needed to reference a PO number or something like that, all of the quantities, fee rates, and then total costs show up on the report. And then there is all of the product care information down here for paying by check or paying by EFT. So all of this gets automatically generated, and this is sort of how you would pay, how you would remit those fees. And then you can go back to the main menu. And then we'll see here, Ontario 2016, enter new ecofee report for June. So I won't be able to do that yet because June's not finished. So I'll have to wait until I know all of my June sales, and then I would come in and enter the new ecofee report for June. So that pretty much sums up the reporting navigation. So then just log out of your account, and then it takes you back to this main menu. And so that's sort of the reporting in a nutshell. I'm not sure, David or Kevin, if you want to add anything to that.
No, that's a really, I think, comprehensive demonstration. Yeah, not much to add.
All right. Okay. Are there any questions? Let's see. We've got one question here. Products.
I'll just remind everyone that the presentation will be on our website in the next day or two, or certainly by the end of the week, and as well as a recording of this session. So, you know, if you have any questions afterwards, you want to listen to what we've said or take a look at the presentation, you'll be able to do that at the end of the week.
Okay. So just to answer some of these questions. So one is, you know, we have registered, but products are supplied by another registered company as well. So, you know, do we fill in reports or do we fill in zero reports and how often, that kind of thing. So this comes back to those kinds of remitter or reporter type relationships that can exist. And so, again, if anyone's registered with us, the expectation from the membership agreement is that a member is reporting everything that they sell into the province that they're registered in. However, if between two members, they decide to form an agreement to say that, hey, I'm going to do the reporting for these products, then we don't want to see double reports. And we could consider making, even though someone's registered, if they have none of their own units to report, then, you know, there's options sometimes to make an account inactive, or we could switch it to quarterly if you think there might be some units to report. So there are some options there, and we could definitely talk about those. Just contact us, and we can kind of look at the specific details of the situation. Another question is, aerosols was within paints on the reporting screen, separated on the bill. Is this just paint aerosols? So the way that the fees were set out for the different programs, again, we sort of adopted the program as is from Stewardship Ontario. So in Stewardship Ontario, the reporting is by liter for solvents. And so the solvents category, even though, and in fact in pesticides as well, even though aerosols may be included in the program in terms of definition, there is currently no separate aerosol reporting line. But in the paint program, when we adopted it from SO, and very similar to other paint programs in our other provinces, aerosols is separated out as a separate line item. So in sort of keeping consistent with how the program was adopted from Stewardship Ontario, the fees are per kg and per liter based, and therefore the reports are sort of total kgs that go into the province during a specific reporting period, or per liter, the total number of liters. There was a reporting, you know, I forgot to show this, and maybe I actually should, but there's a liter calculator that shows up next to the solvents, and I actually forgot to click on it. Maybe we can go back real quick if I log in. But the liter calculator was also adopted from the Stewardship Ontario system for people who may have used that. Let me just see here. Okay, so the liter worksheet. So basically, if for the liter, or sort of for the solvent category, Stewardship Ontario did have a bit of a worksheet. If you wanted to determine the total number of liters that has to go into the report, we've also provided something very similar. So if I put in, you know, for solvents, maybe in this 250 milliliter category, I sold 5 units. That automatically will now calculate to 1.25 liters. If in the 946 milliliter category, I reported, you know, again, 20 units, that would be 18.92 liters. So the total liters to report shows up at the bottom of this, which is 20.17 liters. And so that is really the amount of liters that would need to go in. So this liter calculator worksheet is another thing that's available. If you go to close, you know, make sure that you've copied those liters over to here, because it isn't really a savable worksheet. It's really just meant to be a tool that you can use on the fly while you're doing the report, and then you sort of plug in the total liters here. So that was one feature that I missed and should have shown you, but hopefully that helps address the aerosol question. Yes, so there is another question about quarterly remitting. So Stewardship Ontario system was all quarterly. Everybody was quarterly. So the question is, if we must apply to be a quarterly remitter, even though we were quarterly with for Ontario, Stewardship Ontario already. So if you, because PCA's small remitter policy is based on $20,000 annually, so reporting and remitting less than $20,000 annually for all PCA programs, it is something that we do have to look at. And so it's just we would look at the current situation and just make sure that if you already were quarterly with Product Care in other provinces, with the addition of this program, does it still make sense for you to be quarterly, you know, now? Are you still meeting that small remitter policy? And if you were quarterly with Stewardship Ontario, you know, and you wanted to be quarterly here, we would then look to see if that applies. And so it kind of works both ways. Like if you were already quarterly with PCA, with the expansion of these new programs now to your account, do you still qualify? And we would just do a bit of a check on that. Another question, we are not in the obligation to fill the leader calculator worksheet. No, you do not have to use the leader calculator worksheet. It is primarily there. Not everyone uses it, as far as I know, in Stewardship Ontario as well. It's just meant to be a tool for those who would like to, but as long as you're reporting all of the leaders that were sold into the province in the given reporting period, then that's the number that you have to fill into that report. The leader calculator is a pop-up window that will not be saved. The data doesn't get saved anywhere stored. It's just really for your reference to help determine leaders if you want to use it. There's another question. So is this only for consumer items, CCCR label, or does it include WMIS GHS labeled products? For example, 18.9 liter or 205 liter drums used by professional users. So there is the same maximum liter limit as the Stewardship Ontario program for the solvent, actually for all of the categories of 30 liters. So 30 liters is the maximum size. So anything above that would be excluded. Now the other labeling piece does come down to the small quantity IC&I and residential are the two sectors that products are included if they're sold into the residential and small quantity IC&I sectors, the industrial, commercial, and institutional sector. So if a product is being sold into either of those sectors and it is less than 30 liters, and it meets the definition of a solvent that's in the program. So the definitions we saw there on the ISP program definitions page, then it would be included. So the label itself is not necessarily always indicative of whether it's in or out of the program as much as the sector it's supplied into and it meets the definition of a solvent as per the program definition. I hope that helps clarify. That looks like those were all of the questions for now. Let me just make sure I've got them all. Yep. And so if there are any other questions or if you are looking for additional clarification, please type into that chat window and we will do our best.
Okay. Now I'm going to take you to to some general informational update, and I promise to be fairly quick on this. If we look at the Ontario landscape for MHSW Phase 1 materials, it's broken out this way as of today. Product Care manages paints and coatings, solvent, pesticides, and fertilizers, and as I mentioned previously, there's an interim LAMP program which ends at the end of May 2016, and possibly to transition to a EPR program pending the new legislation. Stewardship Ontario continues to manage single-use batteries and pressurized containers. There was a ISP that was approved, a single material or single item ISP that was approved, SodaStream, earlier this year. I believe it was in April. And there is a proposed ISP right now that's being considered for automotive that would include antifreeze, coolant, and containers, empty lubricating and oil containers, and oil filters. So that just gives you kind of a brief, quick overview of the MHSW landscape. Also wanted just to make sure everybody understood kind of the Ontario municipal compensation model and how we actually pay the municipalities to collect our material. So you see the materials in the second column there. There's paint, PSF, and paint aerosols, and then other products, and those other products were the ones I was just talking about that still remain with Stewardship Ontario. We pay the municipalities on a per hour basis, multiplied by the amount of the number of hours that they're open, and paint would represent 75.9% of that municipal collection compensation. Pesticides, 0.3%, solvents, 5.3%, and fertilizers, 0.2% of the depot hourly rate. And then the balance of paint and PSFs is the responsibility of Stewardship Ontario, which is approximately 18.3%. For the transporters and the processors, for paint, there's an incentive rate model per kg model, except for paint aerosols that are paid by the transportation container or lab pack. And for the PSF, product care reimburses a municipal share or a portion of their lab pack of the actual cost. So we're not reimbursing 100% of that lab pack because there are other materials, obligated materials, that are also packed in that lab pack, which the PSF stewards would not be responsible for. And SO pays the service providers for their materials on an incentive rate on those materials that are left. We also pay the municipalities when there are events, and there is a rate per ton that we pay regardless of the material, and it's broken down by region. And ESSO would pay the same way as we would for municipal events. Just a quick update on Bill 151. Bill 151 outlines the Waste Free Ontario Act. It was carried on June 1st, 2016, and I believe last week, June 9th, received royal assent. Different sections of the bill may be proclaimed at different times, and the development of the regulations will follow. ISPs approved before the proclamation of the bill will be grandfathered into the Act. So the paint and pesticide solvent and fertilizer ISPs will continue on during the transition. Good. That brings us to the end. There is Holly's contact and my contact should you wish to get hold of us. We're also have our information up on the Product Care website. If you need to get a hold of us or drop us an email, we'd be more than happy to answer your questions. Now, I think there is at least one more question that's come up. Which LAMP program was referenced on slide 34 is the question. This was specifically referencing the Ontario interim LAMP program, which Product Care supported on a voluntary basis for Ontario municipalities and retail locations, which started June 1st, 2015. And there was a commitment for a one-year program or a funding cap. The funding was $1 million, and we have reached the allotted time and the maximum funding cap. So that program will come to an end at the end of May.
And just maybe to add to that, because it was not a formal, say, EPR program, there was no steward reporting during that period. So in terms of on the PCA member side, you know, there was no sort of membership or member extension for the Ontario program. If there were to be, with the Bill 151 LAMP program in Ontario, then, you know, at that time, you know, Product Care could look into or evaluate whether that would be something. But just to clarify that, yeah.
All righty, that's the end of our presentation today. Again, if you have any questions, you can quickly type them in the left-hand side of the chat box on the bottom left-hand side of the screen. And I don't see any other questions at this time, so I'd like to thank everybody this afternoon for taking the time and being with us. And again, this presentation, as well as a recording of this session, will be on our website by the end of the week. Thank you very much for joining us this afternoon. Bye.